It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Colby Clark, who during his near-death experience understood that his life purpose was not being filled and he was being written out of the plan. Colby, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here, Jeff.
Colby, let's start with a little bit of your backstory and then go into your NDE after that.
Thank you. So I've always known that there was more to this world than what you see around you every day and what people would consider the normal experience. And I didn't always have the right context or understanding to really frame it or really deeply understand it. But I've just known that I have had experiences from the other side where things or entities, beings, experiences would reach out to me to try to make an impression on me or to try to help to steer me, you know, in the right direction. And even through dreams or through visions or even voices warning me about things. And I maybe sometimes would follow, sometimes wouldn't. As I began to be older, in getting into my teenage years, you know, from being a child, I had some experiences where I had a recurring set of dreams where I was in my truck. I had several vehicles and I was in my truck in this dream and I was driving down this canyon where it had really steep walls in the Decker Canyon in Malibu. And in my dream, there was always a specific set of circumstances where there was a certain song on the radio. I had my window rolled down. There was a smell in the air. There was a shadow that cast light across the canyon. It was a very specific set of circumstances. And in this same set of recurring dreams, every time I got to this one corner, where there's a really steep 1,000-foot cliff that just goes right off the side, this truck would come up and always knock me over the edge. And I had this dream again and again and again for weeks, and maybe it was months. It was a very long time. Then one day, I happened to be driving that truck, and my air conditioner was not working, so I had the window rolled down, and that song was on the radio, and that smell was in the air, and then that shadow was casting that same light. And every version of that dream came back all at once and hit me. And I was just coming right up in that corner. And only thing I could do is the only thing I had never done, which was just stop. And I hit the brakes and I stopped. And that same truck came around the corner and it would have knocked me off that cliff right at that very same point. And I knew for sure, for beyond any doubt at that moment, that someone on the other side had a vested interest in knowing me, helping me, warning me, and trying to help me to fulfill something in this life that I was supposed to do. I didn't know what. I just knew that it was trying to keep me alive. And that was there had been other circumstances, but that one was so undeniable I could never move past it. and then that, in addition to the dreams or the visions, there would be the feeling that the experience that people that I describe now as the Holy Ghost, where you have this still small voice that whispers or sometimes strongly warns you of things. And I didn't understand what it was. I didn't even have a word for it. I didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was at the time. I just knew that there was this entity that had this ability to warn me, and it wanted to keep me safe. And if I did listen to it, things worked out so much better than if they didn't. And on the weekend that I had my near-death experience, I didn't listen to that voice. We there's some friends and I, we had planned a trip to go up to Mammoth. This is in 1993. And there had been what was considered a 100-year storm. And something like 5 feet of snow had fallen in one day. And it was just epic snowboarding up there. So me and some of my friends from Malibu, we jumped in our vehicles. I had a van, and I had a bunch of people. And we went up there, and I felt this warning, don't go, this isn't going to turn out well. And I'm like, oh, that's silly. This is going to be awesome. Clearly, this thing doesn't know what it's talking about. And it really tried to warn me. And, you know, maybe I thought it was, you know, guilt that I'd be missing some time with some family that was coming into town. I had a good way of rationalizing everything. And so we got up there, and we had a wonderful snowboarding trip. It was epic. But that night, we were staying in a cabin, and we were going to go around town and go from cabin to cabin, different people's parties that they were having, and just basically go party hopping through the various cabins. And once again, that voice said, whatever you do, don't leave, because if you do, you're not coming back. And I thought, well, that's stupid. You know, everything's fine. We're going to have fun. This is going to be great. And then right when I was about to leave, the last warning I got, very specific, it said, well, being as you're going to go out, you should leave your keys for your van and some gas money there, because you're not coming back. And unless you want your van stuck there and your friends stranded, then you need to at least do that. And I thought, well, okay, that sounds like good advice anyway, because I wasn't going to be driving. And so I left some money and my keys, and I told my friends, you know, where it was, and they're all like, that's weird. Okay, sure. And off we went. And we went from cabin to cabin to cabin. And, you know, we kind of got drunker from at each party we went to. Then we found out about, there was some really big party down the street at a cabin on the corner. And we were walking down the street. And I say walking down the street, and we were in the middle of the street because there'd been so much snow. All the snow had been heaped up on the sidewalks, and there's nowhere to walk besides the street, which is a sheet of ice. And as we got down there, there were some people who were basically yelling at our group, and it started a fight with the people I was with. And the people came out of the cabin, and they had 2x4s and brooms or whatever they were fighting with. And my group, you know, ran towards them, and I just was watching. I was pretty inebriated. I didn't feel like fighting or doing anything. So I just sort of stood there in the road watching this melee, which was taking place. And unbeknownst to me, there was a vehicle coming up behind me on the ice. There was a kid who was one of the group that came up with us in a different vehicle. And he was highly intoxicated and on various substances. And he didn't see me until he was basically almost on me. And he was in a car with three other people, one of which was in the van, had been in the van when I came up. And I didn't notice until he was right there. The police report says he was doing about 35 miles an hour. And I basically got scooped up on the hood. I looked at the last seconds, and I got scooped up on the hood, and my head right here hit on the metal bar right above the glass of the windshield, and my face went into the windshield. And I have to tell this from kind of two different perspectives. There's the perspective of what happened to my body and the perspective of what happened to my soul. My body went over the top of the car and flipped around a couple of times, landed on the ice, got up, ran down the road, fell down. And my soul, as it were, it's like all of a sudden time was very slow. I went into the car, and I could see and feel and hear the experiences of the people in the car. And I could feel their fear and, you know, their fright when they saw my face come in the windshield. And then as the glass sprayed from the inner layer, like you have of laminate glass, the inner layer of glass, it shot out like a spray of glass and hit them in the face. And they all panicked and were like, go, go, go. And then they took off, and it was a hit and run. They just drove away. And then I my soul went chasing them until I got to where my body was. And that was the first moment that I realized I'm dead. Or am I dead? What's going on? I was a little confused at the time. And then a group of people had just started to gather around me, and nobody knew what to do. They just stood there and watched me die. And they're a bunch of youth, some of which I knew, some of which were the people from the fight. The fight was over at that point. Everybody's just watching me die. And fortunately, there was a gentleman named Tom who was in a house that was just right out front of where I got hit. And this guy, if you ever get in an accident, this is the guy you want to have there, because he was an EMT, an ambulance driver, a firefighter, a volunteer policeman. Like, he had all of these emergency, you know, type credentials. And he saw the accident, and he had told his wife to call 911. And apparently the phone lines were down, so all he could do was just run out there and start administering CPR. And so that's what he did. He cleared people away, and he just kept, you know, pounding on my chest, and he just kept going and going. And I stood there and I watched him for what seemed like a very long time. And it seemed like he wasn't going to be successful, that he just kept working on it. And the more he worked on it, on me, the longer, the more sort of despair I had. And I turned around and I walked away at one point, and I just felt this complete sense of hopelessness, because I all of a sudden, it's like I knew more than I knew in my mortal life. I had a memory of before I had come to this earth, and the things that I was supposed to have done, and relationships that and promises I had made, and commitments. And there's this whole plan that I all of a sudden became aware of. And it's like I could see sort of people popping up who I had essentially disappointed, who I had known on the other side or wouldn't know in the future. And it was the guilt and the sense of loss, it created this tremendous amount of despair. And it was very hard to deal with. And so I essentially hit my spiritual knees, and all I could think of was to pray. And all of a sudden the Savior was there, and I knew that things were going to be okay. That I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I'd have another chance, but I knew that things were going to get better from that point. And I was taken away from that place. And it's like I was in a place of a lot of light, where you can see a full spectrum of light, from infrared on the low end to ultraviolet in the high end. And it's just so much light, you can't even describe it, aside from to say that. And there was a lot of debate about what would happen, and should I be replaced, or could this plan be reorganized? And the decision that came down was that the Lord was going to put me back in play, so to speak. But in the future, I would be different. Things would be different. I wouldn't think the same. I wouldn't act the same. I wouldn't be the same. So, somehow I physically would be different, and that I would have help. And I knew what all those things meant at that time. And as I'm listening to this debate, I'm also just sort of experiencing what it's like on the other side, in this, what I would describe of as like a river of information, where you all you have to do is to think, to ask, or to wonder about something, and all of a sudden you know it. And there's a sense of intelligence, and like everything is known there. And it's just a very different experience. And then at some point I was taken back and put back in my body. And I was, you know, once again reminded that things were going to be different from this point forward, and that I would have this help and guidance, which you could think of as a guardian angel, so to speak. And then I was put back into my body. I remember when I re-entered my body, I was in the hospital at that point. I'd been airlifted. Or first I was taken in an ambulance to Reno. No, first I was taken in an ambulance to Washoe Medical Center, Mammoth, and they airlifted me to Reno. And they had just done brain surgery on me to remove a subdural hematoma. And I had come out of surgery, and they were pushing me to recovery. And then I woke up, and I had that, you know, the intubation tube in my throat. And I just remember getting back into this cold, painful body and trying to orient myself and realizing, you know, my situation and the road I had ahead of me.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Colby, thank you for sharing your experience with us. Earlier, you were speaking about the Holy Ghost and how you would hear the Holy Ghost. Do you hear the ghost in your own voice, like when we think and we hear our thoughts in our own voice, or was it a voice separate from yours?
No, it's a voice that's separate from mine. And I think there's more than just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an entity, but sometimes I've heard different voices give me help on different things. But the Holy Spirit, it's not so much exactly a voice, it's more of an understanding. Like here's something, here's knowledge, wisdom, you know, to put into your head. And sometimes it's usually actually in concepts or just a complete understanding that is given to me rather than just words. But there's been times when I've heard words. And I think that's more of the guardian angel entity that who I know who it is. And that's my mom. She died when I was 14. And I've had some encounters with her after or since then. And so that's how I know who that is.
Are you saying that the Holy Ghost prior to your NDE is the same being that started helping you during and afterwards?
No, the Holy Ghost has always helped me. What's helped me more, I don't think anything's helped more than the Holy Ghost. I think my mother has been a rather constant guardian angel companion since then, but I know the Holy Ghost is always there too. And it's like it's turned up. It's I don't have to wonder what it's thinking because it's quite hard to ignore. If I do ignore it, it finds a way to recruit somebody else. Like it will give my wife the same idea that it had been telling me to do. And so I call it the Holy Ghost backup plan. And that if I don't do it, like 10 minutes later, my wife will come down the stairs and tell me what the Holy Ghost said. But she doesn't know it's the Holy Ghost. She just thinks it's her idea.
So it sounds like some of the information you get from the Holy Ghost is like a download.
Yeah, it's true. But in speaking of words, I have had circumstances like I used to be a motorcycle messenger in Los Angeles for 5.5 years, which is a pretty dangerous job. You're splitting lanes between cars. Maybe you're going 80 miles an hour and cars are going 20 or whatever. And I had a situation where there was just no way out. I was in a spot where I had nowhere to go. And I, without telling the whole story, I knew like, this is it, the mathematically, physics, there's no escape from this situation. And it's like time stopped. And I knew that somebody was there and I could feel that was my mother who was there. And I said, so this is it, huh? And she said, no, don't worry about it. I got it. By the way, this is a chance to change your life. And then everything started moving again. And I sort of magically got out of it with, you know, I broke my hand, but it wound up being helpful in that I wound up quitting riding motorcycles. My wife, who was just a friend back then, all of a sudden became interested in me. We got married and not long after that. And I found out the only reason she didn't want to go off me before is because I rode motorcycles, right? And so like it's a weird set of circumstances. But like all of a sudden, because of this motorcycle accident and because I was saved from seriously being just destroyed in this accident, and all I had was a broken hand and I couldn't drive my six shift truck, my friend who became my wife gave me rides and realized that, you know, I was marriage material. You know, and things with the Lord work out in strange ways like that.
You use the word the Savior when you encountered a being on the other side. I'm assuming you refer to this being as Jesus, but I mean, yes. That is Jesus that you're referring to.
Yes, Jesus Christ.
When you saw Jesus, did you see him as a light being or did you see him how we traditionally see him in photographs, paintings?
I have seen Jesus Christ, the Savior, several times. And the first time I can recall was in the NDE. And I saw him as a physical being, very tall, very, he looked like a person. He glows with light. I don't, when you see a light being, I mean, you can tell he has this very strong spirit and glow, you know, that comes from him. I have had another experience where I've had another one that stands most vividly to me, where I was praying about what I needed to be doing with my life, and I was trying to get some guidance and trying to understand how, you know, I had been saved so many times from death or destruction and just different jobs I had, and wanting to know what is it that the Lord wants me to do, because it'd be easier if I understood than had to guess, right? And so it was odd, because I was trying to go to sleep, but I was also praying. And then it's like all of a sudden I'm in what would appear to be something like a Swiss village, standing on a hillside, or I'm above a Swiss village on a hillside. And it's just all really green and beautiful. And I'm looking down into this town, and I'm like, where am I? What's going on? And I'm surrounded by people. There's, I don't know, maybe a dozen or more people that are around me, and they're all looking at me and very interested in talking to me. And then I look around, and there's a bunch of people in similar circumstances, where there's one person who seems to be wondering why he's there, surrounded by a bunch of other people who are interested in talking to him. And I look around, and this is being sort of repeated all over the place. And so I start talking to these folks. And it's very odd, because like I knew them, but I didn't quite know them. I couldn't quite recall where I knew them from, but they knew me, and they were very interested in me. And so I'm talking to them, and then I start hearing kind of like these, oh, he's coming, you know, these voices, and everybody's like turning towards what's Jesus Christ coming from this village. And he's just sort of slowly making his way around, and he talks to everybody, and some people ran towards him, but I knew that I should just stay where I was, because he would see everybody. And I said, I needed to talk to these people, and these people, they're just interested in understanding what it is I wanted to do with my life and what my life's plans are. And they're trying to gauge and get something from me that I couldn't understand. But I talked with them. And then as the Savior made his way up, he eventually got to me. And so this is, I'm standing on what seems like a steep hillside, and I'm standing above him vertically, and I'm standing back maybe 5 feet from him, and maybe I'm a foot up the hill from him, but he is standing well over a foot taller than me. And he seems to be very tall. So I'm maybe 5'11". And so if we're going by the height I am and the height he was, he would be about 8 feet tall. And he had basically short, dark, blondish hair. He had a beard that was a little bit darker than his hair. It was pretty well kept. It was fairly short. And his presence and demeanor is amazing, because it's like he can stand there and you understand a few things, and he doesn't have to say anything at all. You understand that he understands you, he loves you, he knows you, and at the same time, he admonishes you and expects you to get with the program. Like there are expectations that he has of you, but he doesn't even have to say a word, and you just completely understand all this. He's just right there, and you know it. He just radiates this sense, this knowledge, this wisdom. I had one other notable experience with him. I was, this is years after, and I was struggling with, you know, just getting caught up in the ways of the world, and I was realizing that I was falling short on things, and I needed to make a lot of improvements. And so I was just praying really, really deeply, and I've been in prayer for a very long time, and then in this prayer I could see that it felt like I had chains attached to me, that there was just dragging me down, like the chains of hell dragging me down. And then the Savior walks in, and he has a sword, and he swings this sword and he hits what's almost seemed like a shell of energy that was around me, and it energized it. And as soon as he did that, it broke all these chains that had attached to me, and they all fell down. And I was light. I was clean. And I felt so light. It's like I literally jumped out of the chair I was sitting in. Like I just lifted up, because I was all of a sudden freed from this burden of weight that was holding me down. So I've seen him a few times, and he always looks the same.
Upon encountering him during your NDE, did he identify himself as the Savior, or you just automatically knew it?
No, I just knew it. Like, you just know who he is. You can't help it.
So at one point there was a debate going on, which to me implies that there were more than one person having this discussion. Who was the debate between?
The debate was between people who I was supposed to do work for or help, or I was part of this plan that they were dependent on. And Christ, he remained silent for quite a bit of it. And he listened to the people talking in this debate and heard what they had to say. And then he made a decision that I would be put back in play.
Did you bring back the knowledge of what your life's plan is?
I couldn't. There was a lot of things that I tried, like, you know, all these amazing things that I knew at the other side, just sort of intuitively from this river of knowledge. All I was able to bring back was the knowledge that there was a plan, and that there was a lot of work I had to do, and that I had to be very dedicated to it in order to keep up with the pace of all the things that had been set before me to do. And I needed to progress a lot spiritually. I was also, one thing I did bring back from it was that I was reminded of when my grandmother on my father's side had taught me about the church and about Jesus Christ and had taught me, you know, about her religion, and that I knew that that was the church that I was supposed to join. And I had known it for a long time. I'd known it since I was a kid, but it was, you know, there was a lot of drama associated with that. There was a battle of religions in my family in different directions, and I just never followed up on it. And plus, it was very hard to make that decision, you know, as a child, and turn away from, you know, members of your family. And I knew which direction I was supposed to go. I just knew that it'd take a lot of work to get there.
You were told that you were going to be different or change when you come back. Once you've got back and you recovered, did you feel any different? And if not, did your friends and family say, wow, Colby, you've really changed?
Yeah. So in having a major head trauma, what happened is you get this brain bounce thing, that this phenomenon that happens once in a while. So I was hit on the left side of my head, but then the right side of my head bounced off my skull, and it damaged my right frontal lobe. And it, in fact, changed my personality quite significantly. I became a lot more logic-oriented. I became a lot maybe less intuitive with people, and less about, you know, sort of the party scene or caring what people think. And because I became just like a lot more logic-oriented. I was a very different person. People who knew me back then said that I became very serious. And not as fun. To take it for what it is, but I'm a very different person now than I was before the accident. And the increased help I've got from the Holy Spirit and my guardian angel who is my mother, it's undeniable, right? I can't stop, because they keep pushing me forward.
Have the memories of this experience faded over time?
No, not really. I think I've been able to understand them contextually better, over time, where I've always known it, although I haven't really talked about it much. But sometimes the context, as I move forward in life, I'll understand, oh, that's what that was. And it almost seems like As I get more context moving through life, then I, like I said, I get a bit more understanding of what happened to me on the other side.
If you could compare the other side to this one, which one would be more dreamlike and which one would be more real?
The other side is more real. This side is very hollow and false. This side doesn't feel real. The other side is it's so much more tangible and depth and has more depth and is so much more meaningful. You know, even like I said, the colors and the way you perceive things. It's this feels like a set, right? Where it just doesn't feel quite real on this side.
Where are you at now with your spiritual and or religious practices?
I'm an active member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I go to church. I'm very, very religious. I do everything I can to serve my community and my family and my Savior most especially. I'm a member of that church, but I also take a very broad view on religion and try to understand all the different sort of religious concepts and teachings from different religions. Because I think there's a lot of truths that are spread across and understood by different religious groups out there, even groups that aren't necessarily Christian. I have a very strong desire to understand what people have learned or what the Lord has taught and how people have either received it or not and applied it. Like I really have this strong desire to continue to seek out everything that has ever been taught by the Lord under any context, right? And to understand what has been the fullness of his mission, here and how he's influenced people. It inspires me to stay up nights a lot and read things.
Are you afraid of death anymore?
No, not at all.
That
would be like going home. But I got a lot of work to do here. And I don't... I've had a lot of close calls, subsequent to the NDE, and it's always like I'll get to a point and then it's like I'm not allowed to die yet, so something will happen so that I just the crisis is averted. It doesn't mean I come out unscathed, but I know that for whatever reason there's more to do and I'm not allowed to die until it happens. And if I stay close to the Lord's plan, and I'll encounter less trauma in the process. And so I try to stay as close to his plan because it's painful bouncing off guardrails, if you will.
If you had a friend that was grieving over the loss of a loved one, what kind of advice would you give?
I would tell them to think it's most important to pray about these things than to understand the context of it. I think most of the time with death, people are relieved from great pain. I've had family members who have passed after many years of suffering from illness and ailments. It's most important to realize that, this world is less real than the other world. And that person who is their loved one, they still exist, but now they're out of pain. And that person is also able to help them in their life, as my mother has helped me after she has died, they can get that same kind of help from maybe their friend or family member or whomever that person is. But that person's not gone.
You have a book out, and the title is Smacked by the Light and Chased by the Dark. How did you come up with that title?
It kind of describes, I guess, my story in that I feel quite a few times I have been smacked by the light, and once quite literally. In this path that I have been talking about, I have found that the closer you grow to Jesus Christ and to God, the closer the adversary, Satan, draws to you. It's like he can see that you're getting close to the Savior, and he will do anything he can to disrupt that and to chase you or to any way interfere with it. And I've had a lot of both good and evil experiences. And I have found, I know that good is stronger than evil, and through faith And through using the priesthood and the power of God, that I'm able to overcome the problems that Satan has created me or for me. But I there's been a lot of times when I've been significantly harmed by it. And so that I felt that smacked by the light and chased by the dark described my story, which I put in a fictional setting around the character of Draco Jaden.
All right. Well, you have the book out. Do you have anything else that you're working on that you'd like people to know about?
I write in various different genres. I write on a lot of like folk medicine stuff. One thing I've been doing a lot lately is documenting. I was raised by naked hippies on pot farms when I was a kid. And so I very early on, I had an alternative medicine kind of approach. And it turns out I've been allergic to a lot of traditional medical methods. And so I've had to make my own medicine, pretty much growing more and more over time. And one day I decided to put it in a book so it was easy to reference. And I wrote it honestly for me, not for everybody else. And then it turned out to be quite popular. And I published this and it's selling like crazy. And so I'm working on a follow-up to that book. And I also write cybersecurity books under the titles Cybersecurity Master's Guides. I hadn't planned to talk about that, but I do quite a bit of writing.
That's great. After watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that? And if so, how can they reach you?
Yeah, I'm happy to take questions. I suppose we could, if you want, I could just put my, give you my email, to use for this purpose. But I'll think about which one. I'll just give it to you. We can go from there.
Okay. Well, before we finish up, can you leave us with one last positive message?
Yeah, it's taken me a really long time to learn a couple of very simple concepts that have really helped me in my life. And the first one is to listen and follow the Holy Spirit, because its whole job is to teach and testify of truth and to guide you according to the Lord's plan. It's got nothing but good intentions for you. And the second is to live for the Lord. If in all you do, you follow the Spirit and live for the Lord, then you will be able to walk a very straight path towards accomplishing his will and to have this feeling of Zion that empowers you and gives you wisdom and knowledge and protection. And it's not that you won't have it's not that you won't have challenges. You'll have plenty of challenges, and there'll be opposition. But it's like you'll be able to overcome all of them because you'll be on the Lord's errand, and he'll be able to use you to accomplish his will, which is the place that you want to be. And I'm 50 years old, and it's taken me a long time to learn those two really simple things that have helped me most in my life. I learned, don't try to do it my way because it doesn't work out. Do it the Lord's way, and you'll have the happiest possible situation.
Colby, thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you very much. I appreciate, Jeff, the opportunity to speak with you and your audience.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.